A couple of years ago, Robin Rinaldi placed an eye-opening ad on her local Craigslist.
Good girl seeks experience. I'm a 44-year-old professional, educated, attractive woman in an open marriage, seeking single men aged 35 to 50 to help me explore my sexuality. You must be trustworthy, smart, and skilled at conversation as well as in bed. We will first meet in public for coffee or a drink. If that goes well, we'll have dinner, possibly followed by sex.
Robin Rinaldi was midlife, mid-career, and mid-marriage when she placed that ad, and it launched her Wild Oats project, a whole year spent exploring sex. I know this is not the kind of thing you expect to hear on public radio, but I was thinking, we've been talking about shame in this hour, and Robin's experiment was all about breaking free of shame and constraint. She tells the story of her wild year in a new memoir, and Robin, I guess our first challenge is figuring out how to talk about this on the radio. Has this been hard?
It's very hard, honestly. Listen, it's, you know, it was hard to live it and it was hard to write it, but I never expected how vulnerable I would feel just talking about it out loud. Like the page feels like a sacred space, you mm-hmm. know, just me and the reader. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all this media speaking out loud is much more difficult.
I think it would be incredibly hard. And I mean, as an interviewer reading your book, you know, I'm sort of most of the way through thinking, oh, my God, how the hell are we going to talk? I can't talk about that. No, I don't think
right.
we can talk about that either.
I've been keeping it PG rated. Don't worry.
That's good. So, Robin, can we begin with you moving out during the week and placing an ad for hookups in Craigslist?
Well, what was going on was what I think of now as the perfect storm. I was hitting midlife. I had a latent maternal urge that kind of surfaced and got very strong in my late 30s. My husband and I talked for years about this, and I tried to convince him that we should start a family. And we hit a crisis in my early 40s where I actually thought I was pregnant, although I wasn't. And he decided to get a vasectomy. And right then I realized I was never going to have children. And I was going to go to my deathbed with no children, but also with, you know, four lovers to my name, including him. And something in me, something very female and body-centered in me, just refused to go to my grave that way. And so I said to him, I can give up one of those things. I can give up sexual abandon and liberation for a family, or I can give up having the family, but I have to have one.
So how did your husband feel about this when you told him you wanted an open marriage? What did he say?
Well, he didn't want to. He had his wild youth over with quite a long time ago. His youth was different than mine. Mine was cautious and straight and narrow, and, you know, his was more typical male. And he felt, you know, things couldn't really go on the way they were. We were in a marital crisis, so we might as well do it and see if we could weather it and what it could teach us.
Was there a politics to this for you? Because, you know, I'm thinking we live in a hyper-sexualized culture where sex sells everything from toothpaste to the Super Bowl. But
right.
at the same time, we idealize monogamy. So we're surrounded by all of these sexy images, but we're supposed to be faithful to one partner for life. I mean, what do you make of that dichotomy?
Well, that's just one of the crazy dichotomies we live with. Men and women live with every day, right? But it was not political for me. In fact, the feminist in me was actually arguing with it on many levels.
How so? And what was the feminist in you saying?
Oh, she was saying, why do you think motherhood and sex are the only two routes to true womanhood? Isn't that the Madonna whore problem? That's what she was saying. And I had to say, okay, I love you, I'm a feminist, but please be quiet for a while because my body wants something and I'm going to get it.
Well, and it turns out San Francisco had an entire community of people in open relationships, and you found your way to, what would you call it, an urban sex commune?
Yeah, they called it an urban commune. Sex commune is a little
much misleading?
Because it wasn't quite what you picture from the 60s and 70s with everybody like having sex when you walk in the door. It was more like a sexual education center. It was called One Taste, and they focus on female sexuality because there aren't a lot of places in the world, or even sometimes in heterosexual relationships, where you can just stop and focus on the woman and her response, which I found fascinating.
Hmm. Will you tell me about one or two of your lovers, the men you met, and what were they like?
I mean, for the most part, they were just kind of, you know, normal people, maybe people I wouldn't have met in my normal, you know, walk of life, being like a busy magazine editor. There was like an astrologer who was very ethereal. There were other men who were working on PhDs in Eastern philosophy, and there were a lawyer and a chef. I mean, they were just kind of men from all walks of life and a couple women from all walks of life. But one thing sex does is it connects people very deeply. If you stay aware of what's happening during sex, you really see another person's beauty. Even if it's fleeting, when you're up that close to another human being, you really see how vulnerable and beautiful human beings are. In a way, I mean, I had many moments of what I call spiritual feelings about humanity, basically.
What changed in you? I mean, I'm curious about your relationship with your body, the way you think about pleasure, even your sense of self.
A lot changed, but I have this feeling after doing this and writing about it that sex is an area for women that is extremely powerful. It's extremely full of female, feminine power. But we have been taught that it's where we have to be super careful, and we sometimes get small mentally or physically. And there is a deep fear of women's pleasure in particular, and especially women's pleasure and power in sex. I think it's a taboo, actually.
There are places in the world where a woman doing what you did would risk being beaten or stoned.
Killed. Yeah. I mean, that's in my book, too. So I'm off in San Francisco. I'm a very privileged, very lucky white American woman, quote unquote, exploring my sexuality. And I'd be walking into a class or going somewhere to meet a friend or lover, and I would actually stop and feel in my stomach. There's some woman right now, halfway across the world, if she were doing this, she would be risking her life. That just shows you that even though women here and there can do this kind of thing, it's still going to touch off a very deep chord.
So in the meantime, you were doing this during the week and then going home to your husband on the weekend. I have to say, reading this, a lot of the time, my sympathy was with your husband. I mean, I don't think I could do what he did. And in the end, you know, you two did wind up splitting after all of this. Do you feel like your experiment destroyed your marriage?
Yes. I think the marriage was slowly ending before the experiment. And yes, I think it was the final straw. And I have to say, it's very hard to write about your own marriage. There's a tendency to want to really complain about the other person so that people, you know, empathize with you. And I didn't want to do that. I tended to blame myself more.
I didn't mean that I was judging you. I just meant that marriages are complicated.
Yes, usually they are.
You can't judge one or the other. And reading it, I both understood what you were doing and why, and partly wanted to cheer you on and partly felt terrible for your husband.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, me too.
Yeah.
You know, I felt the exact same way. I think sometimes there's things that happen in our lives, things we feel we need to do. Our soul is telling us to do them, even though we know there's going to be pain and messiness involved. And this was one of those things. I made a mental count, 12 new lovers in the past year. Some had become close friends. Most had helped me befriend parts of myself that had been lying in wait. From what I gathered, sex wasn't the only route to this kind of self-discovery. I probably could have taken up painting or traveled the world, or sat in silent contemplation and ultimately discovered the same lost facets of myself. But I will say one thing about self-knowledge gained through sex. When you're pressed for time, it's efficient and sure. It lands in the body, and the body remembers.
Robin Rinaldi. Her memoir is called The Wild Oats Project, One Woman's Midlife Quest for Passion at Any Cost.